When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Ironcast for what is an extra special episode. One of the greatest players in West Ham United's long history will be joining us today, but also joining us, the Ginger Pele, James Collins.
I thought you were talking about me then.
With all due respect to you, of course. You've just met Paolo. You just met him outside. How was he?
He's just one of those guys. I've met him before. He's just got an aura about him, a presence, and I think fans of a certain age, certainly me and you, me watching West Ham when I was young, he is the main man. He is the player we all remember, the legend of the football club. So to get him in, you know, to get him on Ironcast is a big honour.
You're right. He does have an aura about him. I was saying that, like, a lot of the debate amongst West Ham fans is that who are the greatest players who have played for us in recent times. And Tevez is in that conversation, Dimitri Payet, Di Canio. There's something about Di Canio that's different. He's like a Hollywood star, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's got something about him.
I think it's just his everything around him, the aura he's got. Obviously, the player he was an unbelievable player. The goals he scored, the relationship he had with the fans, or still has with the fans. I think it just makes him a special person. And like you say, in years to come, when people ask about West Ham, you know, greatest players, that Paolo will be up there. So yeah, really looking forward to this.
And another reason I'm looking forward to this is Paolo is such a man of mystery these days. He just disappears for years by. You never hear from him. And so to have him back here at Rush Green's West Ham's training ground, have him here amongst us and have him talk about all those great days he had with us not so long ago. Well, a long time ago now. What a treat.
It's going to be brilliant because the club's changed so much. You know, we've all seen it the last, you know, sort of 10 years that the club's changed a lot. So it'd be nice to hear Paolo's side of it, what it was like at the old Chadwell Heath, the sort of the training ground then, the players he were playing with. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an epic one.
Yeah. And you've already noted there's a little frisson of nerves for me today.
A little bit for me as well, if I'm honest.
I wouldn't say I'm scared. But there is an emotion within me that I can't.
I think you know when you're in the presence of greatness, and I think you know you don't want to do yourself an injustice or anything. So yeah, I think it's, you know, he's such a big player, such, like I said, a presence and a West Ham, true West Ham legend.
All right, that's the pre-chat done. Here comes the main man, Paolo Di Canio. Welcome to Ironcast. The greatest player I have ever seen in a West Ham shirt.
Liar.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paolo Di Canio's in the house.
Ciao.
This is going to be a good one.
Okay?
This is going to be a good one. Paolo, you just looked great in a West Ham kit. The memories you created, you were made to be in East London. And I wondered, now you're back here in East London today, Rush Green training ground. Is West Ham still in your heart?
Of course. But even more happy because the weather is beautiful. No, it's obvious that every time I come back to London, I feel like if I'm at home. It's my second family. Last night, I had a chance to meet already lots of West Ham supporters. And there was an emotional moment for me. I don't know. It's difficult to explain exactly because obviously I was born as a Lazio supporter. And then I played different clubs in my football career. And I had a good experience everywhere. But West Ham still in my heart in a special way. And I don't know. It's a connection, a link that's never going to be cut from anyone. Because my time here, Upton Park before, obviously, I used to play Upton Park. Will remain forever in my heart, in my brain, my soul. Every time with my friend Andrea, now he's with me, the Italian guy, they ask me, my friend, okay, show us maybe your goals that you scored in the past. Okay, we try to watch, you know, Juventus, Lazio, Milan, but when there is the West Ham moment, you can feel that there is something different because I start not speaking to anymore to them. I'm focused the goals, the people at the stadium, and I don't know. It's difficult, but it's special. My daughters, they support West Ham. My grandson is already West Ham through and through. So the family now is West Ham. You know, belong to the West Ham family.
Was it instant, Paolo? Do you remember walking into Chadwell Heath and having that feeling straight away?
Yes, probably because it's obvious. I remember I signed for West Ham. I came from 3.5 months suspended for the accident with Polarco. And the chance that West Ham gave me, you know, was amazing. I remember that the day that they present me to the media at Upton Park was with Mark Vivian Foy, our friend, and we had a training at Upton Park, and to see all those colors around me, claret and blue, I think is a fantastic combination. There is only one team with claret blue, you know, shirt in the world for me. It was amazing. And the first experience in front of the West Ham fans were amazing. I remember that the first game was away, Wimbledon. The second one at home against, I think, Blackburn. I scored a goal straight away. And then what I felt in that day was so special. I never had this feeling in my life. And then I had 4 years and a half, I think, the best period in my football career in general, but also in my life. It's obvious that if you're happy when you go to the job, you're happy with your family. But the life I had in London, especially the time that I was waiting for go to Chadwell Heath in training session and prepare the match at Upton Park away from home, you know, with the people always follow us in numbers, was amazing. So I don't know. You ask me how this feeling can happen. You know, you Italian from Rome, 4 years and a half, not 20 years in here. You didn't born here. I don't know, but I can tell you only that he is absolutely special.
So many great memories, so many great games, great goals. But I just wondered, is there one game you think about when it just all worked for you? Like, is there one performance you had in a West Ham shirt that really sticks in your mind as the best?
More than a performance, I was thinking, you know, in the past, but now also when I think about 9,752 people follow us against Man United in FA Cup when we won 1-0, when I scored the goal. There with Barthez tried to stop me.
Yeah, this is the offside one. Yes. Yeah.
Policeman, you know, tried to stop me. I want to score a goal and then we're going to talk about if it's offside or not. And it was an amazing moment because we know that we have done an incredible job because at the time, we had a good team, obviously, but Man United, in my opinion, is like Manchester City now, in some way, because they were at the top of European football. And 1-0 away from home with 9,000, nearly 10,000 people celebrate in front of the others, 60,000. It was absolutely an amazing moment. Of course, I scored, I was happy, but most important was to see all of them celebrate, you know, and jump on the stand like if it was a Champions League final. So this is one moment that I can tell you is in my brain. But I have to tell you, there are many other moments. Oh. You know, every single time I was wearing a West Ham shirt, it was special for me.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other moments in a second. I wanted to ask about your manager that day at Old Trafford was Harry Redknapp. And you and Harry Redknapp, you just seemed to have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he got the most out of you?
I think he was one of the best for me because he wasn't a coach. He was a proper manager. So he was capable to handle different brain, different culture. He was intelligent in this. Apparently, the people maybe think that he was too kind, too calm, and because he didn't want to have a friction with his player. But I have to tell you, he wasn't really quiet because three, four times we had a very hard confrontation in his office. But this is a part of the game. Between mature people, you know, intelligent people, you can have, you know, friction. You can go close to have a fight with each other. But at the end of the day, when you look to each other's eyes, you know, as a man, okay, I respect you. Absolutely, you are my manager. Now I'm on the field. I'm going to give you not 100, but 200%, because you were good to me, honest. You speak in my face, you know, without, you know, have a trick, you know. I prefer to receive a good, I don't want to say the word, but in the face rather than lots of talking behind. And with him, I have to tell you, I think he was one of the best in take, the best from me. Lippi is another one in Naples. He was a good manager. He won the World Cup with Italy in 2006. He's not for accident, because he was a good manager too. But Redknapp, I have to tell you, fantastic man, honest man, very, very, very good manager. And it was funny to have spend the time with him.
I can see by the smile on your face speaking about Harry. Was he good? Like, if you did well for him on the pitch, was he good with you? Did he give you time off and let you enjoy your family and time in London, Harry? Or was he always quite stern? And
to be honest, I had a problem with him because he gave too much day off.
Oh, okay. Oh,
really?
So, I used to remain a Chadwell hit my own on Wednesday or Tuesday, depends on the day they gave off to the players, because, you know, I couldn't accept it, you know, too much time free, because anyway, at the time we used to play Intertoto Cup, you know. I know that players need to relax sometimes, because they play every 2 or 3 days now, even more than in the past. But at the time, I was thinking that West Ham had the talent to stay, I don't want to say top 3-4, but top 6 regular. And then every year we were suffering, you know, middle table to have on the league. I came from a different culture. AC Milan, I won the league there with Juventus. I won the UEFA Cup, Super European Cup with AC Milan against Arsenal. I remember that I used to play with a top footballer like Baggio, Baresi, Maldini. They were at the top label in the world. I remember that I didn't ask one day off. It's obviously a different culture. I should adapt myself in here. But in my opinion, we should have much better run in the league. And then when something went wrong, he started to give it 1 day, 2 days off. Say, Gaffa, we need to work more, in my opinion, because if something goes wrong, it's because we need to work better.
I bet the rest of the boys weren't happy with you, though.
But for this reason, I was nearly to fight with men in the dressing room. But at the end of the day, we had a great respect to each other, because otherwise I couldn't wear, you know, the armband for 3 years and a half. So it means that the message arrived slowly, gradually in some player's brain. And then at the end, I think, we had a friction, but because he wanted to give me
better
too much
for the team. Now,
was there any friction? Do you remember Everton away, where Everton's goalkeeper gets injured, you catch the ball rather than try and score the goal, you get a FIFA Fair Play award. Was any friction with Harry there? Was he like,
no, I
you
tell
should
you,
have scored?
How is ironically you think? Okay, I walk on the tunnel at the end of the match. All the Everton players, they became my friend.
Yeah, but.
And then my teammates, in an instant, they were my enemy. Enemies. They wanted to fight me. Oh, what are we doing for? Say, I can't go in now, because they were. Say, come on, yes, a good draw, 1-0, 1-0. Say, what's going on? No, English football, fair play, good, no, and a respectful football. I say, oh, yeah, I came here. And now, Redon came close to me and said, Paolo, the lads are very hungry. Say, why?
We 3 points, Paolo. I saw that, Harry.
Score.
3 points.
We should score 3 points. We need 2 points. We need a few more points to stay up. He said, okay, we win the next game, which is, there is no problem. But so I went to the shower with my back in the wall like that. You know, I was worried. But Stuart Pearce wanted to fight me, I remember. So he's really angry now. Say, I'm ready to fight. I never give up. But 20 versus 1 is difficult now. But at the end, they understood, they accepted, of course.
Yeah. And another famous game, West Ham 5, Bradford 4, February 2000. when you watch that game back, you're getting fouled left, right, and center. The referee's not giving you a penalty, and you say, "Take me off. Yeah, I've had enough."
Yeah, but someone told me even in the last few days, you didn't behave as a real professional because you wanted to leave the field. Not calm, I said. It's obvious that is not the best behavior to watch because the people, the crowd pay the money. They have lots of expectation on you and also your teammates. It's obvious. But my genuine thought was, I need to go out because I can be a problem now for the team, for the fans. Because if the referee keep going with this attitude, I'm going to have maybe a bad reaction, maybe going to send off. Me off. Yeah. Because since the first penalty, that it was incredible penalty, with the VAR now, they should give me penalty for
nine,
sure.
Yeah,
it's a save. Come on, get up. But referee, I was angry. But at the beginning of the second half, even more. The third one, I said, "Red, Harry, take me off." No, Paul, stay. No. Please. After 45 seconds, 1 minute, you know, my brain starts working really well, in my opinion. And then the people start chanting, you know, my name. I say, I can't leave this field. And now we have to go back and win. And then at the end, we are 4-2 down. We won 5-4 at the end. And there was the accident with
Frank Lampard. Well, Frank Lampard with the penalty. The penalty.
Yeah, because the only penalty they gave it to us wasn't penalty for Paul Kitson. Because he fell down, you know, he's on without any touch from the opponent. I was nearly to say, no, you give the ball. I say, okay, for us, no problem. And then I remember that but you know why? Because at the period, Lampard was the penalty taker, but there was a situation 1 week before, 10 days before, we played against Aston Villa FA Cup, Upton Park. We were 1-0 down. 89 minutes, Paul Kitson down, penalty for us. I went to again the ball to give to Frank. I saw Frank give his back to me, to the opponent's goal. Like if he didn't want to,
he
was worried because he didn't fancy, you know. I thought, Frank, I say, okay, I take. I'm happy, I take the penalty. I scored the goal, we want a penalty shootout. And I thought in this moment, now, I am.
You're the penalty taker.
Because I took the responsibility. You didn't want to have a chance, you know, in this moment. For me, it was easy to try to explain to him, listen, 10 days ago, you were worried. I don't want to say you to your butt. So, sorry, okay, I don't want to say it. But no, sorry. But anyway, I said that already. And now you want to have a penalty in a easy game because 4-2, nothing to lose. We see if we score. I take. But as a player that played with and for my teammates, when we went back to the middle of the field with the ball, I was speaking to him. He was, you know, young and he was like unhappy. I said to him, listen, now forget what's happened, this accident. Now you are going to score the winning goal. I say exactly these words. Yeah, maybe I was lucky because at the end they scored. But anyway, try to encourage. I say, now don't play, you know, with your brain.
Scramble.
Try to forget it because now we go back in this game and you're going to score the winning goal. Just to try to create a right atmosphere for the people, for us, you know.
All right, West Ham fans, one way you can support Ironcast and help us rocket up the charts and beat off the competition from other official football clubs podcasts like Chelsea and like Spurs is to get a 5-star rating or review from you. Support me and Ginger on the podcast, chuck us a 5-star rating and review and help us rocket up the charts where West Ham belong, at the top of the table. Back on with the show. A few weeks after that Bradford game, the 5-4, you score the goal of the decade against Wimbledon.
Foe, stopped by Earl. Michael Hughes can't clear the first time, nor the second time. Bent wide nicely by Mark Vivian Foe. Sinclair's cross over Cunningham. Di Canio!
I do not believe that. That is sensational, even by his standards.
Oh, take a bow, son. Take a bow. You are not going to see a better goal than this. Great ball from Foy. Even better ball from Sinclair. But that is just sensational. Outside of the right foot. He's off the ground with both feet when he makes contact. Look at him. Up he goes. Oh, that is quite sensational. What a magnificent goal.
A moment of striking perfection from Paolo Di Canio.
Incredible goal. West Ham fans still talk about it. They'll never forget it.
Lucky.
When that ball's cut, me and Ginger were talking and saying, like, how did you know how to do that? Because no one has ever scored a goal like that before or since. What could you see it in your head? Have you done that before in training?
Yeah, we used to practice with Joe Cole, Trevor Sinclair. Good delivery. I scored because
he gave a really good pass.
That's what Trevor says as well. So always, when he
sent me a message, you scored this goal because of course, if you don't deliver the ball, I can score. But anyway, we used to practice 2-3 days per week, maybe in 5-6. 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the end. I try who scored the best spectacular goal, maybe try to flick the ball from behind, something like that, strange. I used to practice this bicycle, you know, dancing ballet, you know, in the air. I have a good timing, a good style, a good impact on the ball, but normally from vertical, not from diagonal delivery. It's obvious that this is remain to your brain, in my opinion, and maybe you can use once in 10 years. But I remember there was Kennedy. Kennedy was the Wimbledon right back skipper, if I'm not wrong. He was in front of me. The delivery was from the other side, from Sinclair to the far post where I was. I had 1, 2, 3 seconds. 1, 2. I saw Kennedy that was unsure if jump or maybe turn his body, try to challenge me, because normally with this ball you can cushion the ball and try to go 1v1. You know, you have time and space, try to beat him and try to shoot on the goal. Or more easy, in this position, you know, a striker or maybe attacking footballer use his nearly foot from when the ball come in the ground to cover with the other leg, even if it's not your proper foot, the left foot. Because if you have a bad impact on the ball can go in the box. Maybe your teammates can take advantage on it. I don't know. I like crazy things. Maybe something remain in my brain. In an instant, I decide to jump, in the air, and then have this movement, which I call bicycle movement, I think, I have to tell you, I don't want to sound arrogant, but every time I'm watching this goal, but in Italy, they show every 2-3 weeks from English highlights or Sky Sport UK, they send down to Italy the best goals in Premier League era, 10, 20, they always show this goal. I think, forget it, this is Di Canio. This is a goal. This is difficult. It's difficult, because...
I think... all as players, you try stuff in training, maybe overhead kicks or something. But to do it in a game, a Premier League game, like there's only probably only Paolo and you can name five who would try it in a game. And to do, I remember being a kid watching it and thinking, that is unreal why you've done that. And like to think, we were talking before we started the podcast about players like you, the real, real talented players, the decision-making in your guy's head is instant, eh? Just don't even think about it, natural.
Yeah, I agree. You can see, I don't know if instinct is difficult to explain, but probably when you have something inside, you can elaborate in a so short instant that is not for everyone, only in this occasion, because I was an incredible footballer. But doing it, you must have... something different inside, because you take also a risk, because if you go in there with a side path of your right foot, normally you can have a bad touch on the ball, can remain there, maybe can go out from the end line
in the parking road
10 yards, 20 yards, in a parking road, but if you want to do something special, maybe you should have something special, even for an instant, inside you. Yeah. Otherwise, it can't happen for accident. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I think that the delivery was fantastic for this kind of kick. But the angle, the foot that I use, in the way I use, was good, because you should score a goal even with a ball that bounced 2-3 times on the ground. But this ball went straight directly to
curling far slightly
post,
away from goal
post,
as well.
Oh. And hit the net straight away. So, as the commentator, if I'm not wrong, said, this is a moment of a strike or perfection, genius, something like that. Say, it was good. So the right thing about
tell
me.
By the smile on his face.
It was good. Very good. I'm proud.
Yeah,
I'm proud.
You should be.
I wanted to ask about your teammates. You shared a dressing room with so many great characters down the years. Yeah. And I wondered, is there any you miss? I mean, like the likes of Neil Ruddock, Ian Wright,
yeah,
John Montgomery.
Yeah, many.
Do you wish some of them, maybe they live next door to you in Italy? Is there any you wish were still around the corner?
I have to tell you that they were a band of crazy people. You mentioned a few. Ian Wright, the last 6 months, but crazy in terms of, funny guy, fantastic. Ian Wright, I think, was a fantastic fellow to me, because he was only 6 months with me. But in the way they accepted my arrival, because I came from 3.5 months of suspension. I remember there was Neil Ruddock, Ian Wright, many others, John Moncur.
Yeah. Oh, Nigel Winterburn?
No, he came later. Oh, yeah. I tell you the story now. John Moncur, Steve Lomas, Pozzi, many fantastic friends. They were absolutely amazing to me. But they all a little bit mad. John Moncur, I can't
it's
tell everything
that, Paolo,
about
him. They say you were the little bit.
Yeah, he said the same. But I have to tell you. But for example, John Moncur is not a tall guy. He's not big. Is one that I would go around the world and fight against everybody.
Yeah.
It's crazy. See, I found another crazy, another mad person like me. We go in front of the die, you know, no problem. We are happy. And I remember Rezo, okay, fantastic man, you know. Bit bigger was at the time, because he came after the preseason, after their summer break, yeah, with 11 kilos they always week. It's not a news, of course, but I was okay. But 1 month I train, but 1 month you train, it's too much. But the atmosphere was amazing in the dressing room, before the match, lunchtime, I spent the time together. Trevor Sinclair, another friend, it was a Shaka Islop on goalie. It was a fantastic man to me, with my family. They helped me a lot. But at the end of the day, I remember when Nigel Winterburn signed for us. I was in a massage room, you know, I was there, and then say Ruddock and a few other lads, they came to me and say, hey, Nigel Winterburn is in the dressing room. He's the first day. He's just arrived. We put the next two to you. Okay, go in and try to make him worry. Okay. So take serious. Okay, leave him alone in the dressing room. I remember I punched the door. Boom! The button was open. He was, what's going on? I say, now, huh? Nigel, come here now. Hey, come on, fight with me now. We are friends. We are teammates now. Ah, now you worry. Now I don't want to say again, but you worry. Yeah. Come here. Since that moment, I have to tell you, I discovered a fantastic guy. Even Nigel Winter. Because, you know, the accident can happen in the field. But I think there is a genuine part in every sportsman. Yeah. Okay, maybe you had in your football career, someone that you didn't like properly, you know, but maybe you meet him outside from the field and maybe you discover the best person in the world. But obviously, if you play for Arsenal, Tottenham, you can be my friend anyway. But
do you think it's the best dressing room you've been in, Paolo, in the players and the manager, the atmosphere?
I've been okay also at Celtic.
Yeah.
Peter Grant, many of them, they were very good to me, because I have to link my life as a footballer, as a professional, but also my social life, you know, with my family, how I integrate myself with my family in the city, in the new culture. I have to tell, in Scotland, It was a fantastic moment. And obviously in Italy, I had a good life, but with them for years and a half was an amazing moment for me. I think it was one of the best moments in my life in general. And the result helped, you know, often because the people were happy. Obviously not the last year, not my last year, because we had a big problem. We got relegated, but with incredible team. You can't, you know, explain, yeah. You know, exactly the name we had at the time. I still think how we went down. I know, but I don't want to remember because I go hurt. You know, I hurt myself. But see, yes, it was one of the best dressing room in my life.
And I mean, that was a golden period for West Ham United, and it feels like we're living through another golden period now. And you've just been meeting with David Moyes and Mark Noble. And I wonder, how proud are you to see what West Ham has become over these last few seasons?
I can't show the video, the pictures of the Conference League final. I was in Rome with my friend. We were in six, wearing my shirt, scarf, with this one that you can see there, the crest, the big one. I took off the restaurant pint. I put it before the match, our badge, big, and then we start to suffer during the game. And there are two, three videos where you can see the real suffering inside. I was screaming, you know, our goalkeeper, you know, the last 2 minutes didn't come out. Yeah. There was lots of play on the field. Go out. At the end, I was screaming, celebrate. I'm proud because, you know, Mark Noble is, you know, the absolutely legend in here. We know how it was and still important for this club. For David Moyes, I'm happy because he had a little problem in the past, you know? He was sacked and then he came back. And what he has done with the lads, obviously, in the last 2 years and a half, approximately 3 years, that is an amazing job. I was worried when we moved from Upton Park to the Olympic Stadium. It's obviously in the modern football, you need more income to compete with the others. But the first two seasons weren't very good, you know? We were there. I think the atmosphere wasn't... Yeah. Really the same. It was difficult for everybody. But since 3 years ago, I think I saw the difference. New players came here, someone good, someone didn't confirm the expectation, but lots of the new signers were very, very good to us. They played, their performances were amazing. And the movement and the environment growing up in a style, because in the last year, the league wasn't really good. But if you want to go to the final, it's normal to pay, you know, a price in some way, in somewhere. And but the two seasons before, I think, show that West Ham now can be every year top eight regular and have a good run in European Cup, you know, because 2 years ago in the semi-final against Frankfurt. Last year we won a Conference League. Now we play against the Europa League with more experience, with more players that had experience in Europe football. And I'm very happy because now I'm relaxing a bit more when I'm in Italy. Otherwise, my friend, sometimes when I'm working, West Ham lose again. Don't give me this news because you destroy my day. You know what I mean? So we are fourth from the bottom. Oh, no. Last year, we were often close to the six from the bot. I wasn't happy. But at the end, I saw a good run because the cup we won was completely we deserved because 12 matches, 12 win and one draw in no run.
Yeah, it's so loose.
There is no cup. You know, that's a team won in this style with this result. So Fiorentina had a great run because they won always away with 3-4 goals. But the best team was West Ham. So I'm very happy. I'm proud about that.
A few red wines, Paolo, after the final?
We had before.
Before?
During? During and after. I wasn't drunk. But because we had a lot of food, good, comfortable. But I have to tell you, we had a room at the end we have room. We have everything. Normally I drink, but I don't drink too much because I like to be fit to train. But that day was special before we have Prosecco and then white wine and then red wine and then again and then celebrate until 3 o'clock in the night.
Oh, amazing. Paolo, thank you for coming on Ironcast. Thank you for the memories, the goals, the moments you created, and the relationship you have with the fans. It's just
fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Because always I feel home. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more time. Paolo Di Canio.
Ciao.
Woo.
Ciao.
There you go. That was Paolo Di Canio. So many great memories. So many great moments. Just that, I mean, it's... There must be YouTube, the YouTube videos of the goals he scored, the memories he created. It's just what a fantastic time the period he had at West Ham.
Yeah, he will always go down as a club legend. You know, you see in the podcast there. You know, he's still the Paolo Di Canio. You know, a little bit different, a little bit quirky, but that's the man we love, and obviously the passion and the love he's still got for the football club is playing for everyone to see. And you know, it was an absolute pleasure to speak to him.
And that goal against Wimbledon, the scissor kick. Mm. Have you ever given that a go over the training ground?
Yes, I probably have. Probably injured myself. But it's mad to him. Like, no one's really talked through it with him, you know, to sort of hear it from his mouth, what was going through his head and the way he executed it was brilliant. So, no, I couldn't try anything like that. I'd be out for about a year, probably.
I'm going to throw this out there now, I think. The greatest players I've seen for West Ham. Mm. Tevez is in that. I said at the start of the interview, Tevez is in there. Payet's in there. But for me, Di Canio's the best I think I've ever seen. Where does he rank for you?
I think for me, only because I played with the boys, you know, they'd always be mentioned, Tevez and Dimitri. But certainly as a young football fan, you know, Paolo would be up there. Just, you know, the way he played the game, the passion he had, the way the fans, you know, reacted to him, the way he was with the fans. So for sure, yeah, looking in from the outside, he'd have to be up there for me.
Yeah, you're right. That relationship with the fans, it's still strong to this day. West Ham fans still remember what he did for us and the way he made us feel. That's it from Ironcast. What an episode this has been. Paolo Di Canio, where do we go from here? Who knows? Let's find out soon, though. Until next time, come on, you Irons.
Podcast Network.